Welcome to Two Songs, One Couple, where a geeky metalhead husband swaps songs
with his nerdy country girl wife. Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us on our musical chat. Hello, and Happy New Year, essentially.
Happy end of 2022!
Yay. We made it through another year.
Yeah, and 2022 started off feeling a lot like 2020 and 2021, but then it started to get a little bit better.
I don't know what happened, but a switch flipped and things are open, so almost feels normal.
Yeah, thank God for vaccines and science.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I am still recovering from the flu, which was not fun this year, but I did get my flu shot, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason for this sexy voice you're hearing right now.
I got my flu shot too. I didn't get sick, thankfully. Not gonna touch wood.
Touch wood. Yar.
Let's look back at our year. What did we do?
Oh, good Lord. We did a lot. We went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, we went to Puerto Rico. We went to San Diego. And those were our two big trips of the year. I mean, we're going out to things.
Yeah.
Eating out. Going to movies. Going to concerts.
Going maskless.
Ooh, weird. Yeah. It does feel really weird.
Feels super weird, but it feels like, you know, now is a good time. Like, we're all super vaccinated, at least for us. Like, it made us feel like the risks involved in traveling and kind of getting back a little bit to normal is worth it, okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to traveling more in 2023. I got the travel bug.
Nice.
It's deep within me.
Ah. So, to get ourselves in the list mood, do you have any favorite movies of the year?
Well, I think most recently we saw Black Panther, the latest Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. My favorite movie of the year is hands down Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, that's right. The fucking hot dog fingers. That is like the one thing that sticks in my mind for that movie.
Yeah, it was completely unexpected. It was all or mostly Asian cast. Not a lot of movies like that get made for American audiences. So that's number one. And number two is it was a risky prospect. It was a risky plot. Everything about Crazy Rich Asians is great, you know?
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, it just boils down to a fairly tropey love story.
Yeah.
And then you got Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that as well. You know, it was a Marvel movie and they have a formula.
Yeah.
And so with this movie, they took a lot of risks.
Yes.
It was a plot that was potentially convoluted and potentially confusing.
Yeah.
So it's not going to resonate with all audiences.
Yeah. I was very skeptical because it was giving me like Mulholland Drive vibes.
Uh-huh.
It definitely won me over because
yeah.
I am not the type of person who likes to think really hard when it comes to movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very straightforward girl. You know, I like some thinking involved, but I like things tied up nicely for me.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But I enjoyed that movie. I did. Yeah. I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would.
It had a lot of genres blended into it. You know, there was sci-fi, there was martial arts.
Yeah.
There's drama. It's the return of the actor from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes.
Who hasn't really acted in anything since then.
The little boy. He was Short Round.
Yeah, Short Round. His performance was really good too. Like,
oh yeah.
He's been out of the acting game for a long time, and it's like you would never know.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah. All right. Without further ado, let's get to our list.
Yay!
Yeah, per tradition, we are going to list out our top five songs of the year.
Which, you know, is always so fucking hard for me. Like, I don't seek out fresh new music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, it was kind of fun because there was a lot of great albums that came out that I actually listened to throughout the year. So it was an easier process for me this year than in past years.
Yeah, this year has been pretty good. I mean, very good with new music. I don't know what it is, whether it be maybe a lot of albums that were recorded during the pandemic are now seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
Or if the pandemic pushed a bunch of recordings later and then now they're coming out. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yes.
We're going to start with you. So All right, hit me with it. Top five. Let's start with your number five of the year. What do you have? I don't even know why I fuck with you. I'll be damned if I stuck with you. Change my number, I'm ducking you, bitch. Bitch, whatever is comfortable. This the type of shit couples do. Should have thought about cuffing you, bitch. Nigga, you dirty and you broke. Oh, you goofy and gunnable. The insecurities you got won't mind fuck me. Womanizer got no affection from your mama, I see. Don't speak on my mama, the fuck is your problem? That bitch don't like me anyway. Bitch, she gave you the Honda. And use that shit to throw it in my face. Yeah, find it funny, you just can't apologize. Bitch, egotistic, narcissistic, love your own lies. Bro. See you the reason why strong women fucked up. Why they say it's a man's world. See you the reason for Trump. You the reason we overlooked, underpaid, underbooked, under shame. If you look, I don't speak, then I'm called.
So, I'm gonna hit you with some Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
So, he released his album this year, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Mm-hmm.
Fantabulous album.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the song We Cry Together. It's a duet between Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Page. What did you think?
So, I have heard this song before you selected it. And it did stick out on the album. And I thought it was interesting, but like, I didn't pay too much attention to it.
Uh-huh.
As an individual song. But now that I've listened to it a few times, and we just watched the quote-unquote short film, which was pretty cool because I think it was a live performance for the video.
Yeah, it totally was.
They didn't even use the track, so they had to perform it again, and it was shot all in one take.
Yeah, and you love that shit.
And
you love the one take shoot thing that,
yeah,
like, I don't even notice until you're like, oh my god, they shot it in one take, did you see it?
It's amazing because they have to perform for 5+ minutes and do all the choreography of the camera choreography and them moving around the scene.
Uh-huh.
And perform and remember all the words that they have to say all in one take. It's very tough. So that was pretty amazing. It just speaks to the talent of everyone involved.
Totally.
But yeah, I thought it was really good. And it played like it's an argument between a couple. It seems like years of built up frustration between the two. And it feels like almost like a play or a movie scene. But they just put beats under it.
Yeah.
I mean, the dialogue that they have does have a rhythm to it.
Mm-hmm.
Rhythm and a rhyme, so to speak. But it feels kind of like almost naturally like an argument.
Yeah, it's a very smooth, well put together rap that...
Yeah.
You know, it's seamless. It feels like it could just be like that you're eavesdropping on somebody's argument.
Yeah, overall, I think it was very good.
One of the reasons why I absolutely love the song is the cursing. Like, if you know me, you know that I love to curse.
Yeah.
I love to sprinkle that into my jargon, and it makes it, you know, a little difficult at work when I'm trying to be professional because I need to remember to like maybe use more creative, less traditional curse words.
Mm-hmm.
Hence shark farts replaces shit. And so like that really spoke to me, you know. I really, really enjoyed the emotion that is conveyed during the cursing and throughout this entire song. Yeah, so like I chose it because the song conveys a lot of different emotions throughout a short period of time. And I'm a sucker for a song that makes you feel something. If it's a lovey-dovey song or like something that makes you feel angry or makes you, you know, just feel something. And this song definitely like carries you through and emotes really well. And I feel like it's really relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So like the couple starts off super angry and then it devolves into like them making out and having sex, right? Mm-hmm. And then I love the ending, the recorded ending, where it's fucking tap dancing and they're like, stop tapping around the conversation. And you're like, what? How did it start off with like, fuck you, to tap dancing?
Uh-huh.
You know, and it just made me smile. And I found this to be like a standout from that album where, you know, time and time again, I just kept going back to it because it stood out so well.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a good tune. And we all know Kendrick Lamar, right?
Of course.
Did you know his name is Kendrick Lamar Duckworth?
No.
Is he a fucking butler?
Shut up.
His last name is Kendrick Duckworth.
is really Duckworth?
Apparently it is.
You're not making that shit up.
No, that's what the internet said.
The internet's always right.
Yeah, as we know, Wikipedia is never wrong.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, dude's from Compton and has had a sharp rise in his rap career. Dr. Dre discovered him and produced To Pimp a Butterfly, which was his breakout album. And since then, he's just blown up.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Very talented. And, you know, we saw his concert earlier this year, and that was not only like musically good, but visually really, really amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it was not the typical concert. It was really good.
Yeah. And Taylor Page, the guest vocalist, is not really a musician or a singer or a rapper. She's an actress, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From what I read, this is her music debut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But yeah, you can't tell. It makes a lot of sense now that we watched the short film. Her acting chops really show.
Yeah.
So you know, acting has a lot of the same cadence as rap.
Yeah.
Because you have lines and there's a rhythm to your dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the music video especially, she's used to in-scene choreography.
Yeah.
And moving around, moving with the camera and acting and performing. And so it made a lot of sense. Kendrick Lamar got an actress to perform this part.
Yeah, and actually, I think it brought a lot to the recorded song, too, because she emotes really, really well. Like, mm-hmm. there's some parts in the song where, like, her voice is kind of cracking,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, girl, I feel that.
Yeah.
Felt that.
Yeah, song is good. Has a nice chill hop beat underneath it. The piano part is cool.
I loved the classical piano, like, overlaid on top of the kind of subtle beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice contrast between this kind of classical sound mm-hmm. with this really angry argument.
Yeah, yeah.
And these curse words.
And my favorite part was when she went into a tirade. Her longest verse or whatever
uh-huh.
was when she was talking about misogyny and how he's the reason for Trump. He's the reason for R. Kelly. He's the reason for this is a man's world sort of thing.
Harvey Weinstein being underpaid.
And yep. he just sits there and just listens and takes it.
Yep. I thought it was really good. And I thought bringing up R. Kelly and the fact that, you know, some people can't see that what he was doing was abusive or can't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's kind of this conflict between the man and the artist, like liking the music, but yeah. still not liking the person who created the music.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good to include.
Yeah.
Especially from like a rap artist and from the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
Because R. Kelly was and still kind of is like a huge artist from hip hop, mm-hmm. right? And people yeah. really connected to some of his songs. And to then have like it come out that this asshole, this monster created a song that you really connected to is really hard for people to accept
mm-hmm.
and separate, yeah. right? So it was nice to see that addressed even a little bit in a hip hop song.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, now we got all serious.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all I got.
Okay, so out of 5 fuck yous.
Perfect.
Or out of 5 fucks. Ooh. How?
10 fucks. Like right now.
Stop it. How would you rank this song?
Okay, so originally I was going to go 4, but after listening to it more and watching the short film, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 fucks.
Nice. Nailed it.
Yeah. All the things you said about the amount of emotions that are running through the song and the video is like anger and love and lust. There's a sadness there too. It's like all this shit in there.
Yeah.
The lyrics are good. Kendrick Lamar's lyrics are always good. And Taylor Page's performance was awesome. I was also very surprised to learn that she was an actress.
Yeah.
Versus a rap artist.
Yeah. I totally thought she was an artist.
Yeah. So 5 out of 5 fucks.
Nice. Perfect with a twist of shame. No one to blame. Playing so many games. Wishing it was all fake. But I was put on earth for you. To give you flaws in a world full of clowns. I was put on earth for you. To hold your hand while you're looking at the moon. I was put on earth for you. To make you laugh when you're feeling sad. I was put on earth for you. A pure soul with no one to hold. Wondering for how long. Yeah, I've made mistakes. All right, what you got for me? What's your number five?
My number five is by Mono Neon. The track is called Put on Earth for You. It's off the album of the same name, Put on Earth for You. What did you think?
I thought it was a funky, soulful, happy song.
Yeah, it was weird, right? Weird how I choose something like this.
Yeah, I was like, all right, all right. It reminded me a lot of Fantastic Negrito, mm-hmm. mixed with a little bit of George Clinton,
yeah.
and CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. And then there was one part in the song where he goes, like D'Angelo in How Does It
oh,
Feel?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh,
right? Uh-huh. So I was like, all right, all right. That's like one of my favorite parts of that song. And now it's one of my favorite parts of this song.
Nice.
But yeah, it's pretty rocking.
Cool, cool.
I really liked the interchange of, or the mix of the funky drums with, you know, the horns that are kind of typical of funk. Mm-hmm. And then you have that guitar solo that's pretty, you know, the typical funky sound.
Yeah.
It's got some stank on it. It's like pretty good.
It's like a clean tone guitar.
Yeah.
Rather than the distortion.
Yeah.
That I'm very used to. So, yeah, it's a nice it's a nice change in pace.
Yeah. It's a funky, happy song. It seems like it's about love.
Yes.
There was one part in the song, though, where he talks about shame. I didn't quite understand the perfect with a twist of shame. Note or lyric?
I don't know. Maybe I could read it as like, even with your flaws, you're perfect.
Ah, I see. I see.
That's my guess, but I don't know. I don't know what his intent was when he wrote these lyrics.
Yeah, because otherwise the lyrics are very sweet. It's like, I was put on earth for you. I want to hold your hand under the moon.
Yeah.
I want to make you laugh when you're feeling sad. You know, the typical, like, I love you so much. I want to be here for you type lyrics. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the second verse is, you know, yeah, I've made mistakes causing many headaches, but hey, I was put on earth for you. So it seems like,
so deal with it.
Yeah, it seems like there's some flaws in both players here, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's a love song, essentially.
Yeah, but it's a happy love song.
Yeah, it's a very happy love song.
It's a I love you, let's sing about it.
Yeah.
In a funky way.
Hell yeah. This is by Mono Neon. That's his moniker, but his name is Dwayne Thomas Jr. He's a very prolific bass player. He has a very unique style with his bass playing. He's right-handed, but apparently he plays left-handed, but he takes a right-handed bass and flips it upside down, similar to what Jimi Hendrix did.
That's interesting, because I didn't feel like the bass stood out all that much in this song. And sometimes oftentimes in, you know, funk songs, bass is like right there up front.
Yeah, this is kind of an outlier. A lot of his stuff is way weirder and more bass prominent. I compare him to Thundercat.
Oh, yeah.
Where Thundercat is kind of odd, kind of off the beaten path, R&B, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But this is like a weird one for him, but it sounds normal. You know, it's like a pop hit, a regular pop R&B hit. So
yeah,
his usual style is very strange, which is why I listen to him.
Right. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was saying he was prolific. One of his last biggest gigs was playing for Prince.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's bass player for Prince. So
wow.
He's very multi-talented. So in this particular track, he doesn't just play bass. He also sings. He also plays the guitar and the keyboards. He doesn't play the drums on this track.
Disappointing.
Sad day. Yeah. And he doesn't play the horns either. So, but otherwise, everything's all him. The composition, most of the instruments, the arrangements, it's him. Mono Neon.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, so this song came out a long time ago, quote unquote. It came out like early in the year, like January.
Ah.
But it stuck with me for an entire 12-ish months. So this song has some staying power. So that's why I chose it as number five. Yeah, the actual content, the lyrics, it's very sweet. And it's like, aw, he loves somebody.
Aw. It's definitely an earworm. Like that chorus definitely sticks in your brain for a while.
Yeah, and it's all about like making someone feel better and just like, I just a little somewhat conceited saying, you know, I was put on earth for you, you know, I'm a gift for you. Overall, you look at the lyrics, it's just kind of like, he just wants to make someone happy.
Yeah.
And that's sweet. But yeah, it's a sweet song and it just made me think of you. So that's part of why I chose it too.
Oh, you love me.
I do.
Sucker.
So out of five artists formerly known as Prince, what would you rate this?
You know, I'm surprised he played for Prince, because for some reason I thought Prince played bass, but I am wrong.
No, Prince is a guitar. Well, I mean, he does too. Prince is also extremely talented, and he played almost every, he played basically everything, all the instruments. So you're not wrong there, but
I love Prince.
While he performs, it's mainly vocals and guitar.
Next year, we should do a Prince episode. Okay, sorry.
Fuck your couch. Fuck your couch. Wait, that's Rick James. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Rick James, bitch.
So out of five artists formerly known as Prince, I would rank this one a solid 4.
Nice.
Maybe even a 5.
4.5 then? Just I average. Don't do point. Just average them. Ugh. Average the two. If you're wavering, use maths and average.
Fine, 4.5.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's a good tune. It's solid. It's happy. It sticks in your brain. It's funky. I love me some funk. I love me some stank. It could probably, I think, to make it a 5, I would want a little bit more slap in the bass, right? A little bit more wow.
Is that what slapping the bass sounds like?
Sometimes. Ew.
You're like a producer in the studio. Can you like, just like go on your bass?
Oh, that went off the rails.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
All right. On to my number 4.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. You make me want. Out of control, out of control.
All right, so coming in at number 4.
All right, what you got?
We have a song called Nervous from Maren Morris. It's off her Humble Quest album. What did you think?
When the song started to kick in, I was super stoked because this shit sounds like the dark folk that I listen to.
Yeah.
Emma Ruth Rundle, Chelsea Wolfe, Marissa Nadler, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
All those artists, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. She's diving into the dark folk genre.
More like dipping a little toe into.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Then it starts to get to the chorus. I'm like, oh, fuck. Now it's like a typical pop country. Like, it's like they have a bank of like pop country choruses. And they're like, I'm going to take this one, change a few notes. And then boop, there it is. That disappointed me a little bit. And the guitar solo is like, okay, guitar solo. Here we go. 4 measures.
4 counts. Oh, 4 measures. I was saying 4 counts.
4 measures of guitar solo. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's very quick. But at least it didn't really just replay the melody.
Yeah, that's true. The verses. I love the verses a lot. And then the chorus is just like cookie cutter pop country.
Yeah.
Nothing special about that. And then a short guitar solo. So it was like a mixed bag for me.
Yeah. You know, Maren Morris took me quite a while to like and appreciate. Looking back on it, some of it is just my bias towards like the typical, stereotypically pretty country singer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's kind of who Maren Morris kind of comes off as if you just look at her. But her music is much deeper than that. You know, it's grown on me. She has really solid lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And some interesting perspectives and some different sounds than what is currently popular in country.
Yeah.
And so she's really, really grown on me. And this year, her album, like, I liked it way more than you know, Carrie Underwood's new album and a few others too. And yeah. So this song in particular on the album, well, that whole album is very honest and lyrically driven. And this song is one of like the more interesting sounding on the album because, like you said, it's a little darker, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. It's also a little sexier,
yeah,
without being the typical sexy song. You know what I mean? Like, and I really dug it because it approached sex from a different perspective that I haven't really heard before,
mm-hmm,
where it's like this nervousness, this like uncomfortableness that, mm-hmm, like makes, you know, sex exciting,
mm-hmm,
you know, versus just like pounding it out,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, is fine too. But there,
yeah,
you know, there's something to say though about that, like that weird nervousness about getting that close to somebody and having them see you.
Yeah.
And so that really like kind of spoke to me. And, you know, Maren Morris, just looking past her like kind of pretty exterior, has some good insides, you know, like she came out as a vocal supporter of LGBTQ and trans rights.
Mm-hmm.
Like she took on Jason Aldean's wife, who's a, you know, total shitbag.
fuck her.
When it came to like trans rights and you know, acceptance.
Uh-huh.
And so that made me really like her even more. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those artists where I am now fully recognizing that I had a bias towards and it had nothing to do with the music.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm able to kind of get over myself, mm-hmm, I can appreciate her music more. And it really, you know, it stuck with me throughout the whole year. I listened to her album and I was like, oh, this is fucking refreshing.
Yeah.
This is a cool album. This is a cool song. And it's way different than kind of the bullshit that's being released by some heavy hitter country singers right now.
Yeah.
Which I'll get to later.
Yeah. Like you said, her lyrics about love and sex, it's a different approach. And it's always, there's this assumption that like, yeah, when you're getting down to it, you know, everyone feels sexy and,
yeah,
and good about it, but that's not always the case. And how it reads to me is like somebody who's slightly insecure,
yeah,
and worried about putting themselves out there, you know, being vulnerable to somebody else.
Yeah.
And to let the inhibitions go, to let themselves go in that moment. And so she feels nervous about it. And it's a interesting take and something that's not quite talked about in music often. It's always about, you know, self-confidence and feeling sexy all the time sort,
yeah,
of thing. When that's not real. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
This feels more real.
Right? It's honest.
Yeah.
It's like there's something to say about putting yourself out there so much and learning to trust somebody. Right. And
yeah,
that initial nervousness of, oh, shit, OK, I'm putting myself out there. What are you going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, mm-hmm, is that other person going to accept me fully, or am I going to be like heartbroken?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's,
yeah,
it's that whole like. All right. So out of 5 nervous tinglies, what would you rank this one?
I would go 4 out of 5.
Ooh.
Yeah, 4, because the really strong connection to the dark folk sound that I love lifts it up. But then the pop country chorus that's so bland. But the lyrical content is good too. So like 2 out of 3, you know, and that 2 out of 3 things isn't bad. So I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
That's a lot of fractions.
I like your math there. Yep. It's good math.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Okay.
All right.
So my number 4, ready?
Am I? Am I prepared for this? I don't know.
I don't know. It's pretty epic. All right. So the song I gave to you is by Star One. The name of the song is Fate of Man, and it's off of the album Revel in Time. What'd you think?
Yeah, so it's definitely, you know, a song that I would expect from you, right? Mm-hmm. It more so than your number five. It's, you know, a solid prog rock song. It gave me vibes of Rush and Dio and Dream Theater mixed with a little bit of Nightwish, right? Like mm-hmm. the singer has, she has a really great tone to her that is a little bit reminiscent of, I feel like if Dio and Tarja from Nightwish had a baby, it would be her. Fine, Tarja. If they had a baby, she would be it, right? Okay. Like, she's got kind of similarities to both of them. And, you know, the sound is nice. Mm-hmm. I like her tone a lot. It's a dramatic prog song. It's the typical prog song where, you know, it's a gluttony of notes mm-hmm. in a relatively short period of time, which actually maybe that's not so typical of prog. It's relatively short for a prog song. It's not 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's about five-ish.
Yeah. Maybe it's not so typical. The overall approach maybe is a little bit more typical where it's a lot of really fast, technically difficult music. Uh-huh. Can't think of the word right now. It's a lot of notes played in a relatively short period of time that takes, you know, a lot of mastery over those instruments to do and to produce. So yeah, it was interesting. It's, you know, very dramatic. It's about a soldier who's has the fate of man in their hands. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the lyrics give you this imagery of like war and a battle to be won and we must overcome.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, a lot of very dramatic tropes that kind of fit the overall song itself. There is a key change in there.
Fuck yeah.
And you got that like high pitched notes a couple of times in there that remind you of like the 80s prog rock, like Dio.
Yeah, okay, so this is it's essentially Arjen Anthony Lucassen's project. And it's funny you say this is very proggy, which it is, but he has another project called Arion, which is very proggy. And this is his effort to go more straight ahead metal.
Oh, to go less proggy.
Yeah, to go more.
That's why it's 5 minutes instead of 10 minutes.
Yeah, so the Star One project has a few albums under its belt, but you know, Star One came about because he started working with Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden. And he wanted to do just like straight ahead metal.
Uh-huh.
That project fizzled out, but he kept the idea and just got a bunch of guest singers to sing on the project. But I mean, prog is kind of who he is, so it's kind of hard to take the prog out of him.
Yeah.
But it does lean more a lot to the power metal side, which is what you're saying about Dio. It's basically his solo project. He plays the guitar, keyboards, bass. Ed Warby is on drums, so there's another dude on drums.
Yeah.
So the singer is Brittany, well, her name is Brittany Hayes, but everyone calls her Brittany Slays. And she's the vocalist of Unleash the Archers.
I see what they did there.
Mm-hmm. And there's a guitar solo from Michael Romeo of Symphony X. So he has a lot of guests on there.
Oh, so Michael Romeo only did the guitar solo?
Yeah, he was just a guest guitar soloist.
Oh, he didn't even do the rest of the guitar?
No.
Oh.
No. And Arjen Anthony Lucassen did the rest of the instrumentation.
Interesting.
So you said the song's about dramatic. The song is dramatic about war. It's actually a very specific reference. I don't know if you caught on to it with the video and everything, but it's a reference to the movie Terminator.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, the fate of man lies in his hands, right? So one verse is about the Terminator, one verse is about Kyle Reese going back in time, and the whole album, Revel in Time, it's about sci-fi movies and TV that deal with the concept of time.
Okay, so now I more understand why you love this song.
Yeah,
because you love Terminator.
It's about Terminator. It's like holy shit! It hits all my hits all my spots.
All your spots,
so to speak. But yeah, I understand. It's hard to take the prog out of him. It's kind of what he does. So even though it's like power metal and it's his version of straight ahead metal, it still has prog elements.
Oh yeah, it's very proggy.
All right. With all that being said, out of five, I went back in time to have sex and make John Connors. What would you rate this?
All right. Out of five time travel sex, you know, I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Prog is not my favorite genre.
That's weird. That's so surprising. How am I finding about this now, this many years into our relationship? I thought you loved prog.
Oh, yeah. Chad. And especially, you know, this verges on the type of prog that really bugs the shit out of me, right? Yeah. But it also has elements of prog that I really, really like. Like, I love Nightwish and I love Dio. And so this is very reminiscent of those two bands in particular, or artists. I
also like the band that Brittany Hayes sings in, Unleash the Archers.
Like, I mean, I do like the singer a lot. Like, mm-hmm. she had great tone. I didn't realize that was the same singer.
Yeah, that's her.
But yeah, you can't take out the tweedly deedly's gluttony of notes from the song, right, without stripping it bare. And I think that's why I give it a 3. Mainly because that's just not my jam.
Not your style. Not my jam. I understand. You don't like good music, so that's okay. It's fine. I married you for some reason. I can't.
It's can't the boobs.
Remember? Oh yeah, boobities.
Boobies.
All right, cool. Let's move on.
Yourself, 'cause when she walks in, pour everybody else. Yeah, pour everybody else.
All right.
Now we're on, what, song number 3, right?
Threes.
And it's your turn, so what is your number 3 song of the year?
So it's Pour Everybody Else by Carrie the Underwood.
Carrie the Underwood, okay.
Off of her Denim and Rhinestones album. What did you think?
Yeah, this is very Carrie Underwood. It's extremely Carrie.
Yeah.
My entire time listening to it, all I could think of was Sunday Night Football. Sunday night. It's like got the same cadences and, you know, very consistent with what Carrie sounds like in my head. So, yeah, it's a Carrie song, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's got a rock edge to it. So it's got a riff that's kind of nice. It reminds me of something that I can't put my finger on. Like, I'm trying to think of a rock band, grunge band, alternative band, or something this riff reminds me of, but I just can't place my finger on it. I don't know if it reminded you of anything, but it just had this familiarity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole track starts with her breathing for some reason. Just like... I don't know.
Well,
I don't know why they decided to include that, but it's there.
Well, I think because, like, this song, singing-wise, it's a marathon. She does not take a break.
Oh, that's true.
And it's a really, really, it's a pretty difficult song to sing and to sing it well.
Definitely. I agree with that. There's a part that where it almost gets polyrhythmic. It's, like, very close.
And what do you mean by polyrhythmic?
So polyrhythmic means, like, I guess if you just break it down... by the words, there's like many rhythms, but in my head, what I think polyrhythmic is usually, you know, many rhythms that are kind of counter to each other. It's not like on the straight up downbeats. She's starting to get into something, and then no, she just says, forget it. I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, she started, and then
yeah, she started it.
It's a little rhythm tease.
Yeah, and then like the lyrical content is just like, I guess some woman not giving a fuck and going out to party and showing up at a country club and looking for a man to have a fun time with is my guess.
Uh-huh. Or woman,
yeah. But,
yeah.
But when you first gave it to me, I'm like, poor everyone else. What does that mean? Singing about pores. I'm like, okay, Carrie. Got a big head there, but but I guess it's just like once this woman enters the room, it's just like poor everyone else that has to deal with her, I guess.
No, it's more like all the attention is on her. Like, she is, like, she's drawing everybody's attention, everybody's eye. Mm-hmm. So, poor everybody else who's trying to get laid, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Because they all want her.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I think, my impressions. Why is this your number 3?
Yeah, I mean, it's Carrie at her best. You know, it's Carrie Underwood, similar to Before He Cheats, right? That's her big, big song that everybody knows, that everybody loves. And this is in that same country rock aggressive mode.
Yeah.
I liked it because it flashes back to her at her best, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The rest of the album is really disappointing and kind of trash.
Oh, sad day.
But this, there's like two, maybe three songs that I really dug on the album. And this, when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is refreshing. Mm-hmm. This is Carrie Underwood. Mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, not everybody can sing this kind of song well, right? Yeah. And me included. Like, I sound like trash singing this song because it's pretty high and it's fast and it's aggressive. It's rock, right? So mm-hmm. you don't sing it pretty. You sing it a little harshly. You sing it strong. And that's hard to do well. Mm-hmm. And she does. She knocks it out of the park every time yeah. with this type of song. Similar to like the Monday Night Football song. Sunday Night Football song. And, you know, that's the Carrie I like. That's the Carrie that I want more of. Mm-hmm. I jammed the song over and over and over and over again. This was like on repeat for me. Once she released her album, I was like, okay, I want to listen to this song again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has fun lyrics where it's like, gasoline waiting on a match to strike, man eater with an appetite, right?
And then, oh, yeah. So she is looking for a man.
Well, man, yeah, I guess kind of. But then there's like vocals, there's lyrics in there that also say, you better watch your man, but you also better watch yourself because you're going to like her too. You're going to think she's hot and attractive and want to bang her too. Yeah, it's fun. I like it. You know, she's armoring herself. You get this picture that she's arming herself with like her high heels and super tight clothes and her makeup. And she's like raring to go. She's rah,
rah. Nice. Yeah. It has like a powerful, powerful anthemic, maybe sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
It's like her, like a wrestling entrance maybe, yes. But it's going to the club, I guess.
Yeah.
So
it's like, it's a fun, fun country song.
Yeah. Cool. Cool.
So out of 5 man eaters, what would you rank it?
Out of 5 man eaters, I can give it a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 man eaters. It's not my favorite tune. It does have big rock vibe to it. Her vocal talent is, you know, without a doubt, very, very good. Like you said, it's a tough song to sing. You got to sing it strong. It's fairly high register without her sounding like she's reaching at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think she is. It just sounds very natural. And that comes across. She does some subtle runs here and there that are not really runs. What do you call it? It's just like several notes within.
Yeah, it's a like baby tiny runs,
mini run. Right? So, you know, I appreciate those little pieces of flair without being too show-offy. And it all sounds very good, but it just sounds like the song Something Bad or Sunday Night Football before the previous iteration of Sunday Night Football song.
No, Something Bad is trash. This is a good song. Sounds like before he cheats, if anything.
Yeah, I can see that too. It's a good tune, but not necessarily something I'd reach for, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Cool, cool.
All right, what'd you give me? What's your number 3? With the fall coming round the bend, every dream has to meet its end. This cold in my heart and back when all of a sudden you're gone. This is how I will wait for you. Against the dark, I can't get through. In the morning, my fear comes true, when all of a sudden you're gone. All of a sudden you're gone. All of a sudden you're gone.
For my number 3 song of 2022, it's by the Von Herzen Brothers. The song is called All of a Sudden You're Gone, and it's off of the album Red Alert in the Blue Forest. What do you think?
Yeah, the singer, like my first impression was the singer sounds super familiar, and I couldn't place them.
Okay.
And it's still driving me a little bit nuts. Like, I'm not sure where I know them from. Do I know them?
You probably don't. They're not like very well known.
Okay.
But his tone of voice, I can see you making a comparison to a singer that you do enjoy.
And that one is.
When I first listened to this band, my immediate reaction was, this guy sounds like Chris Cornell.
Oh.
So he has that similar type of voice.
I did not make that connection at all. But yeah. I was like, damn, his voice sounds so familiar. This drives me bonkers. Mm-hmm. Can't figure out who it is. It might have been like some band that you've played in the car maybe that I've listened to in passing. I don't know. I couldn't place it. I really couldn't place it. But overall, it gave me like Flower Kings vibes and a little bit of Pink Floyd. Because it's a very slow and sad song.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, it's sad song, but not too sad. It's what I wrote.
Oh, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, and then I listened to it again after you said, oh, time for sad song. And I was like, oh, you're right. Shit, that's like really sad.
Yeah.
But I think because in the beginning and throughout most of the song, it sounds sad. But then towards the end, it leaves you a little hopeful.
Yeah.
Like the music gets a little bit brighter. It gets a little bit more, I don't want to say happy because it's not really happy.
Hopeful.
But yeah, I guess hopeful is like the best term for that. But I didn't catch that the full name of the song was All of a Sudden You're Gone.
Yeah.
I just wrote All of a Sudden.
Oh. Yeah. So, two extra words makes a big difference.
Yeah. So I would have caught on to that super sadness part if I had completed that. But I did not, alas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was getting kind of a laid back, stonerish, Pink Floyd-y vibe in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then it got a little bit happier, slightly Flower Kings-ish towards the end, but not like super bubbly happy. And it's like a kind of like a chill rock song. I do like the high piano melody that's played throughout the song.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocals are, you know, he has an interesting tone that isn't typical. And that's, I think, why it was driving me nuts, why it sounded so familiar and I couldn't place it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not every male singer sounds like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it fits with this song a lot. It's quite pretty. There's a little bit of Beatles in there too, especially towards the end. I was getting maybe George Harrison vibes a little bit in the hopeful part.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a, you know, it's a solid, solid sad song.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the Von Herzen brothers are from Finland, a group of three brothers.
Ah.
Guitarist, vocalist Kie Von Herzen, singer guitarist Mikko Von Herzen, and vocalist bass guitarist Jani Von Herzen.
Jani.
not that Jani. Apparently their dad was also a musician, and so just music just runs in this family.
Uh-huh.
So I guess they're like Hanson, but talent. You made some prog rock references.
I did.
Would you consider this band prog? Just based on this song, it's kind of tough, I know, but just one song, you know?
I could see it falling in prog, mainly because it's a long song that has movements in it, right? So I could see it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would place it strongly in prog.
Their music overall does have, it leans more hard rock, alternative rock.
Ah, okay.
With some like sprinkles of prog in there, but prog is kind of a umbrella term because it could mean Pink Floyd, who...
Yeah.
They don't necessarily shred. They're more atmospheric versus Dream Theater, where they shred a ton. And so it's kind of a weird genre that kind of encompasses a lot of different elements.
Yeah. Well, it's like metal, right? There's a whole bunch of, you know, sub-genres included in it. But like I can definitely see it in alternative rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I could see it in like the alternative rock prog kind of section. Like I could see it side by side with Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I chose it because it, you know, it's one of those that hits you in the feels. It's a big emotional punch to the gut, and it's just a reminder of the fragility of life. It's just about losing someone you love. It doesn't necessarily mean your spouse or whatever. It's anybody, you know? It could be mother, father, brother, anybody close to you.
Yeah.
One of the lyrics is, "As I watch as you're breathing slow, and all of a sudden you're gone." It resonates because I've experienced something like that, you know, watching someone pass.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, it just brings up all these feelings.
And it helps you like
helps me deal with that. Exactly.
Right.
Like, yeah. And everything you said was, especially toward how it gets hopeful at the end.
Yeah.
It, you know, we just watched the music video as well, where they show this funeral sort of ceremony. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like, you know, families losing a loved one, getting into the coffin, but they're not really dead. They're kind of acting through this funeral process because they get back up, right?
Yeah.
But what it symbolizes to me is that, yeah, you lose someone you love, but in the end, you're reunited. And that's the hopeful part of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a better place and you'll join them one day and you all will be together again. And so there's hope there, but still there's a lot of darkness on the way.
Yeah.
Very sad song, very emotional. Not typical for me to choose something emotional.
Yeah. But I'm weird. A sucker for emotional songs, man. Like, I love it. I love a song that'll make you feel something. Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Because it really does help you deal with life, especially like losing someone. There's so many layers to that. You know, it never goes away.
No.
And so as you like work through that grief, music helps to deal with that in different stages, right? Yeah. So like this song, I definitely can see being cathartic, right? And helping you through it.
Yeah. And then I prefer to deal with the feelings this way rather than just have it hit me randomly in some awkward situation. So,
yep.
You know, having to deal with it in my own terms.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. Rather than like bursting into tears while you're at work and
you're
in front of people. Yeah.
Awkward. That yeah. Okay. Out of 5 Hansons with talent.
Out of 5 Von Hansons.
Von Hansons. What would you rate this?
I would rate it a 5.
Nice.
5 out of 5.
Awesome.
It's not a song that I would necessarily reach for every day, but it's a song that I would reach for when I'm feeling sad and I need help dealing with those emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're going to go cry a little bit in the corner and then we're going to move on to our number 2. Number 2.
Girl, I'm about to have a panic attack. I did the work. It didn't work. That truth, it hurts. God damn, it hurts. That lovey-dovey shit was not a fan of it. I'm good with my friends. I don't want a man, girl. I'm in my bed. I'm way too fine to be here alone. On the other hand, I know my worth. And now he calling me. Why do I feel like this? What happened to me? Oh, oh, oh. Supposed to love somebody else when I don't like myself. Like, ooh, guess I better learn. To
are you ready?
All right.
Number 2. All right, what you got for number 2?
All right, so I'm giving you To Be Loved by The Lizzo off of her album Special. What did you think?
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Very 80s. Very Richard Simmons workout video.
Yes.
Which is interesting considering how you feel about 80s music.
I know. I'm a very complicated girl.
I thought there was a tiny little bit of auto-tune in one of the verses.
Oh, maybe.
But it's just barely noticeable. It's not enough for me to be like, boo, auto-tune, and write it off completely.
Yeah.
Because I know realistically everyone uses it to a degree.
Oh, totally.
And there's a key change. Very 80s again. Yeah, it evokes these feelings of old and new. Yeah. And I kind of like that. Aww. A lot, actually.
Yay!
Lyrical content. I guess she's, questioning if she's ready for a relationship or a committed relationship.
Yep.
She hits upon being able to love herself first before allowing someone else in to love her as well. Yeah, we just watched the music video for this one too, as we usually do. and the confidence on Lizzo is amazing. Like, I don't know, she just has this like aura about her that she's just so confident and doesn't give a fuck about the haters.
She's very comfortable in her skin, or at least she comes off as comfortable in her skin.
And I appreciate that. And very fun tune. I could see myself at the gym in a jazzercise sort of class, and this song goes on, comes on, we're all in headbands and
leotards,
exactly. Dancing, sweating to the newsies, I guess. It's not oldie. But why is this your number 2 song?
Yeah, so Lizzo's album is fantabulous. So I had a hard time choosing just one song for my top 5. And I just kept returning to this song because I think the lyrical content just really spoke to me. One of Lizzo's superpowers is just being able to really have honest, relatable lyrics that are also really catchy.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, she's extremely talented at that. And I relate so much to her songs and what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could very easily fall into like a pity party with a whole bunch of her themes,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't.
Yeah.
That is uplifting and positive, and it makes me feel happy when I hear her music. And yeah, it's a little ironic that it's very, very 80s inspired mm-hmm. and that I would choose it because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge 80s fan. I tend to make a lot of fun of it. But as I grow older, I find myself liking 80s music more and more, which uh-huh. is interesting.
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of like across the board. Like all types of 80s music has started to appeal to me more as I've aged.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And I don't know. At some point in the future, we can try and unpack that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just gave me like Flashdance vibes.
Yeah.
And makes me want to dance. And it makes me realize that I'm not alone in self-love exploration.
Yeah.
And realizing that to really love somebody, you have to accept that they can love you.
Exactly.
Which means that you also have to accept that you are lovable.
Yeah.
Right? And that's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I don't know if everybody goes through that, but I feel like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
It spoke to me on numerous levels. Like it hit me in the fun zone and then it hit me in the heart zone.
Yeah, that's a win-win. That's a double whammy right there.
Right?
Nice.
So out of 5 spandex leotards, what would you rank this one?
Out of 5 spandex leotards, I would give it a 5.
Yay!
Good job, Melissa.
I fucking knocked this one out of the park. Who's Melissa?
Lizzo.
Oh. Is her name Melissa?
Melissa Vivian Jefferson.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, that's where Lizzo comes from.
I did not
realize I just this. Learned that, too. Yeah.
Like, who's this Melissa?
Because there's a lyric, too, where she says, he called me Melly.
Oh.
It's like, what does that mean? So, Melissa.
Oh.
Melly and Lizzo. That's where those came from.
I thought she was
saying
belly.
Well, she said that, too. Here's the lyric. Wait, wait, wait. He called me Melly, he squeezed my belly. That's the sequence right there.
I didn't catch the Melly part. I just caught the belly part. Yeah, I was like, yeah, fuck my belly. And she's super talented too. Like,
yeah,
she's
the flautist.
She's a flautist.
I had no idea.
She's, you know, she's a great lyricist. She's a really great singer. And she raps really well too. So she brings a lot of great things, I think, to the music industry. And on top of it, she's just done so much for body positivity.
Yeah.
That it's amazing. Like her Yitty clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. Oh my God, yeah. I want it all.
And the dancers that she has in her videos are,
yeah.
are like more, you know, real looking people,
more
so to
thickums.
Speak. Yeah. Yep. More plus size.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too in the weeds here. Let's just focus on me scoring the song. 5 out of 5 spandex leotards. Very good song. Fun as fuck. Reminds me of the 80s, which I love. Yeah, it's a good, fun, uplifting tune. I can't fault it really for anything.
Way to bring it back to topic.
Yeah. All right. Right, let's make a 180 degree turn and hit up my number 2.
Dun 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 dun.
What I have for you is by Meshuggah. The song is called Phantoms off of their album Immutable. What are your thoughts?
So the very first thing that I wrote down is, let's go! Rawr!
Yeah, hell yeah, let's go. Fuck yeah.
Because I was like, all right, this is what I expected more of from Peter's top five. And it took a while to get there. It's got that thrashing, distorted guitar over what's relatively simple drums. But the beat that he's chosen is interesting. Like, the rhythms that he's chosen are interesting, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it kind of keeps you engaged. The mm-hmm. fucking time signature, like, wow, why?
Okay, this is the secret I'm going to share with you. I might have shared this with you before, but all of Meshuggah's time signatures are essentially in 4-4, and they're just, like, playing around that. You can usually hear it because Tomas Hakke, the drummer, he usually keeps something constant,
like a
crash cymbal that'll always be on the beat and everything else moves around it.
Yes.
However, in this song, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. So it's like much harder to figure out where that is. But if you count from the beginning, like a constant 4, you'll eventually get back. They'll eventually meet back up with you.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucked up shit, man. It's a lot of maths for listening to music.
It is tough to follow, but probably in 4-4.
It's most likely.
Fuck around with the around it.
It's the classic Meshuggah, right? Yeah. Like, it's exactly what you would expect from Meshuggah.
Yeah.
You got loud, angry guitars mm-hmm. with funky drums, mm-hmm. funky, fucked up time signatures.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And you have a lot of, like, staccato kind of moments, right? Yeah. Where it's a lot of quick note.
Very quick note. It isn't sustained. It's like, blam, and then the note stops.
Blam.
Yeah. Instead of blam.
Yeah. And you could totally picture the lead singer with his weird head dancing, right?
Yeah, I think he does that to keep himself in time.
Probably, right?
Because, so, like, how else are you going to figure out the meter?
Yeah, yeah. And so for those that have not seen Meshuggah live, the lead singer, instead of, like, the typical metal headbang, will just kind of nod yes and no in beat. It's a very, like, very sharp nods that you could just see him doing throughout this song.
It's almost robotic.
Yes, totally. And then there's just that typical, like, dark, haunting sound to Meshuggah that mm-hmm. is also included in the song. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly, there's kind of a break in the song where you get, like, a Tool vibe. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a softer sound and a little bit more...
And it's like
dreamscapey.
Is it like a very low guitar sound?
Yes.
It's like probably the lowest note that they can hit on that guitar.
Yeah. And it's sustained. It breaks from the staccato quickness of earlier in the song. Mm-hmm. And then from there on out into the end of the song, it's a little bit more Tool-y.
Yeah.
I enjoyed because I love Tool. Yeah.
Meshuggah is a Swedish band from Umeå, Sweden, and they are veterans of the scene, and we've seen them live a few times, and they're a very influential band. They're kind of like a tentpole band. They essentially created a genre, or helped shape a genre, called djent. Heavily influential, and they're still at the top of their game. A lot of times, the old bands kind of fade away, but they're still going strong. They still do this genre extremely well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting that you said Tomas Hakke's drumming is relatively simple. I got this thought in my head, too, where it sounds relatively simple, but it really isn't. If you've ever seen him play, it's just hard to play.
Well, I'm not saying simple as in easy.
Yeah.
I mean simple as in it's not a lot of fast beats.
Yeah.
It's not that double bass that is typical of, like, metal songs. Right. Maybe simple is the wrong word, but it varies more than the typical metal song.
Yeah, I think I know what you're driving at, though. It fits really well with what the guitar is playing.
Yes.
And it kind of grooves with them.
Yes.
So in essence, instead of sticking out and having it be, like, overwhelming double bass over everything, it's more of a kind of a mix of funk and metal together that matches the guitar line, and they all mesh as well together, that it feels more cohesive.
It does come off as cohesive, but I wouldn't say it, like, blends in with the guitar, though. It definitely stands out. And I feel like it's a bit counter to what the guitar is doing. Usually the drummer is meant to push the song along and keep the rhythm, right? Yeah. So it's a driving rhythm. It's a lot of the same sound over and over and over again, right? But this, it's kind of opposite. Like, you kind of feel like the guitar is driving the rhythm and the drummer is just doing whatever. Like, the drummer's just like, I'm going to play around. They do mesh well. Like, for example, in a typical metal song, you have double bass with a consistent beat on the hi-hat and the snare.
Yeah.
With every now and then some toms thrown in. It's a lot of toms, not a lot of cymbal, not a lot of hi-hat, and definitely no double bass. So you're just kind of like, huh.
I think we're sort of heading in the right direction of what we're trying to say here, even though it sounds like we're countering each other.
Yeah.
Getting the vocabulary together to express it is a little difficult.
Yeah. So it's like y'all listen to it and then y'all try to explain it to us. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. But yeah, this album is very good. But this song, when I listen to the song, I'm like, okay, it's jamming. It's cool. And then it gets to the guitar breakdown.
Yeah.
Where it goes, dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. I'm like, the bottom drops out and it just feels empty. And then the drums come back in, just punches me back in the gut. And it's just like, oh my God, that's amazing. And it's a little repetitive. I will admit that. It oddly grooves, even though it's like in a weird time signature space.
Yeah.
It does have a groove to it.
Especially towards the end.
Yeah. The whole outro is just instrumental and it's repetitive, but it just grooves. Yeah. And Tomas Hawk, his drumming, listening to it, it's good. But like when I see him drum, he does way more than I thought he did.
Yeah.
Like a lot of ghost notes, a lot of subtle things that he does.
Yeah.
He's definitely an amazing drummer. And it looks so effortless. It looks like he's just like, okay, no, I'm a badass. That's cool. And he's like doing his taxes at the same time. It's so fucking good. But then, lyrically, I'm sure you picked up on every word, right?
Oh, totally. I understood all the growls.
Well, the song is called Phantoms, and it's basically about your past ghosts.
But let's be honest here. You didn't choose this song for the lyrical content.
No. That was an afterthought. I just wanted to talk about it because I looked at it for this purpose of this. Because
you researched
it. Yeah. Yeah. But it's essentially your past ghosts and your past issues, you know, dealing with that. That's it. Whatever. The song is amazing. And every time I put it on, I do a little mosh pit in the office. Yeah. Knock everything off the shelves and everything. So
run
good.
Into the dog.
Yeah. Me and the dogs mosh together. Out of 5... blams. What would you rate this?
I would rate it 5 out of 5 blams.
Oh, 5. I got a second 5. Let's go.
Because I like Meshuggah. Yeah. And this is like right in their wheelhouse, man. Plus, like you mix in a little bit of Tool and it's like, I'm sold. I'm on it.
Remember when we saw them tour together?
Uh-huh.
I was like, that is an opposite pairing. Like Meshuggah is so loud.
Yeah.
Go along listening to more and more of their music.
Yeah.
You can see the influence that Meshuggah, vice versa. Meshuggah and Tool have had in each other, even though it's like different arenas.
Yep.
Rhythmically, polyrhythmically, they do some similar stuff. So it makes sense.
They're definitely like both heavy hitters in their respective genres. And they also, I think, are, like you said, heavily influenced by each other.
Yeah.
Because it comes out in their music.
All right. Let's go. Let's move on. Number one song. We made it. Let's go.
Number ones.
Lost the night warriors a couple of times. Danced with a cowboy on a straight tequila high. And I wish I was in his arms tonight. I've been a rolling stone, a tumbleweed, looking for the
Looks like we made it to the number one song.
Are you ready?
Of 2022.
Woo.
I'm ready. What you got?
I'm giving you a Miranda Lambert song.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. It's In His Arms off of her Palomino album that she released in 2022. What'd you think?
Whoa, shocker. You got a ballad here for your number one song. I find it interesting that you also have Carrie Underwood on here twice.
This is not Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, okay. My impressions. Immediately, Bonnie Raitt vibes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Kind of bluesy, laid back vibe to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's got nice harmonies in it and it's a nice subject matter. And is it about me? You want to be in my arms?
Mm.
Is it?
No.
Oh, fuck. Sad. It's probably about J.J. Watt, huh?
I mean... Everything's about J.J. Watt. I mean, sure. Yeah, it could be about you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I feel so loved. When I was listening to the lyrics, I heard Marfa. I'm like, well, they did the Marfa tapes.
Yep.
And then I'm like, what the fuck is a Marfa? We've done two songs off of the Marfa tapes. Yep. I didn't even know what Marfa means, but it's a place in Texas, right? It's a city?
Yeah.
Then I made the connection. Did this come from the Marfa tapes section? Marfa tapes sessions.
Uh-huh.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. It's also recorded on the Marfa tapes.
Ah.
Right? So it's more of a acoustic, different vibe than this one. But yeah both are absolutely lovely.
Okay, so they have a scuffed version, and then they recorded a proper version, and that's what this is.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Then she talks about tequila, of course, because...
Because it's a country song.
Yep. Trope, country trope. Rolling Stone and Tumbleweed. She's describing just kind of wandering. Both things, I would assume. A stone and a tumbleweed. You know, it hits a bunch of bumps. It doesn't roll smoothly. And so it's a good metaphor for her life. Whether she's hit a bunch of bumps. Am I reading too deeply into this?
You totally are.
Hitting a bunch of bumps. And she just wants to be in his arms.
Sure. Oh, man. You went deep.
I thought there was a lyric in here about every guy she's with sets her free. Or is that a different song?
No, that's the song, but it's not every guy. It's the wrong guy.
The wrong guy sets her free.
Yeah.
That took me a minute to realize what she was saying.
Yeah, so the phrase is, I've been a rolling stone, a tumbleweed, looking for the right one to come and find me.
Yes.
But the wrong one always sets me free.
Yeah, yeah.
She's searching for her lobster. She's searching for... That's a Friends reference.
Go fuck yourself, Friends.
She's looking for, you know, her one. In so doing, she's still having some fun with some wrong ones.
Yeah, yeah. My immediate reaction of the wrong one sets you free. It's like the wrong one, but a positive outcome setting her free. Because whenever we think setting something free, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's more like, actually, it's the wrong kind of setting me free, you know? It's a bad relationship and they let me go and they set me free.
Oh, I read it differently.
How did you read it?
You could totally interpret it that way. I interpreted it that like the wrong ones are always so much fun that they set me free in that moment. You know what I mean? Like they release me. They give me a release. They make me come. You know what I mean?
Bloosh.
And that's why they're so enticing, right? So she's like, okay, you know, I'm searching for the right one, but the wrong ones are a lot of fun. So I'm going to take a little detour.
No, I just thought that the wrong ones always end badly, so they break up. And that's what she means by setting her free.
Could be.
You choose sploosh, I choose breakups. Cool, cool, cool.
That's usually how it goes.
Why is this your top song?
Oh my God. Okay, so when I heard this song on the Marfa tapes, fuck me, I played it over and over and over so many times. And then it came out on Palomino and I was like, yes. And I played it over and over again so many times.
Which version do you prefer if you had to choose one?
I kind of prefer the Marfa tapes one a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more soulful, a little slower.
Yeah.
You know, if I had one critique on it, it's a really short song. The song speaks to me for a couple of reasons. One is it's really fun to sing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun to sing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lyrically, it paints a picture really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this beautiful melody that kind of just like brings you along. It like carries you along and you're like, la, 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 I'm going to sing a song.
Yeah, it does feel right? Like it makes you sway back and forth or it's like cradling you.
Yeah.
Or you're in a swing or a rocking chair sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's definitely one of those songs where I wouldn't overthink it. Like...
Not like me talking about tumbleweeds and the way they roll and a metaphor of life.
Yeah, there's definitely some poetry to her lyrics, but ultimately she's just taking you on a trip around Texas looking for her love. And so she is painting a picture with like tumbleweeds and rolling stones. And, you know, there's also that whole connection to music via the Rolling Stones. Like she's a traveling singer, right?
Yeah.
And that is something that's kind of a trope that's carried throughout the album, mm-hmm. right? So she talks about like traveling a lot in the album. And mm-hmm. I love who Miranda Lambert is right now. Like I like her style. She's definitely evolved throughout her musical career.
Yeah.
And this kind of laid back, non-traditional girl country singer,
uh-huh.
I'm digging, right? Yeah. Like she's yeah. playing into throughout that album. Like she's like bringing up the whole like patriarchy where it's like, I can be a cowboy too. And if I'm going to be a cowboy, I'm going to be the fucking queen of cowboys. Right. So yeah. it's kind of like that, like pushing against the patriarchy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The song, it's an earwormer and I like to sing it. So out of 5 deep tumbleweeds, what would you rank it?
I would probably go 3 out of 5.
Ew.
Yeah.
You take that back.
It's a 3. It is good, but I wouldn't reach for it, and I don't really care to be in his arms. It doesn't speak to me.
And this is why this song is not about you.
It isn't. She didn't write it for me, so it's fine. But I do love Miranda Lambert. I love that she has a dog rescue. And the dog rescue is very Pitbull positive, Pitbull mm-hmm. advocates.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a 3.1, actually. I changed my score.
Shut up.
3.1 deep tumbleweeds.
Get out of here.
Out of 5. Yeah. I can see why you like the song. I totally understand.
Yeah.
But for me, not my favorite. So well, it doesn't have to be. It's yours. It's yeah. your favorite. Not my top 100. I mean, yeah. top 5. Think of my top 100 albums. That's later.
Well, suck it.
Okay, I will suck it. Nom, 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 nom. All right, let's go to my number 1. Okay, this is it. We've reached the end.
What?
My number 1. Here we go.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right, my favorite song of 2022 is by a band called Kardashev. It's called A Vagabond's Lament, and it's off of Liminal Right. What did you think?
I was very surprised.
How so? You were surprised by my number 1 song last year, too.
Because it's very chill.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected something more in my face.
You probably expected my number 2 song to be number 1?
Yeah. I would have thought Meshuggah would have been your number 1. But
nope. This band called Kardashev just blew everything up.
Surprise! It's a very soundscapey, soft, slow, kind of sleepy song in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it grows into something that is, I think, reminiscent of like between the Buried in Me and Thule soundscapey sleepy sound vibes mm-hmm. at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice.
You have a great poker face.
It's good. Yeah.
No, I mean,
it's cool.
It's pretty. You know what I mean? It sounds very pretty. Mm-hmm. I think the beginning is very easy to kind of like zone out during.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it grows into something that is, I think, starting to be interesting. And then it ends. And I'm like, huh, now I have blue balls. Thank you very much. But yeah, it's, you know, it's a very chill, relaxing song that I could totally see vibing out on. Like if you just want to like chillax with some bourbon and kind of escape. That you would put this one on.
Cool. Yeah, pretty much. Done.
Yeah, pretty much. So talk to me a little bit about like, why is this your number one? Did you need a lot of relaxation in 2022, Peter?
Maybe. It could be. But let me talk about the man just a little bit. Okay. Kardashev is a black gaze, a mix of black metal and shoegaze.
The fuck is shoegaze?
G-A-Z-E. Not LGBTQ. I'm not talking about that. No,
but
I'm
talking about black gaze.
So shoegaze, that's where the very repetitive soundscapey part comes in. It's kind of like music. You just stare down at your shoes and then it's like 10 minutes long of repetitive soundscapey. Yeah. And then mix that with black metal. In general, this song is kind of an outlier when you compare it to the rest of the album. The rest of the album is more like Opeth. Okay. Very Opeth.
I can see that. Because this, I did not get a lot of black metal.
Yeah, yeah. This one doesn't have any of the screaming or the growls in it.
Okay.
Their other songs do. Very much so. And so this is kind of like their version of a ballad, I guess. And it's an outlier. And it's a little different. So it sticks out. So when I was listening to this album, it's a song that stuck out. And you're exactly right. Something you could vibe to. And I tend to listen to a lot of music while I work. So while I'm working, it kind of, I can kind of zone out to work and the music at the same time. And so.
Yep.
Those two together, you know, makes a pleasant experience. And why I chose it is it's kind of strange, but it's kind of like one of those songs that hits at the right time. You just need something to kind of zone out to.
Yeah.
So if like work gets too crazy or just life gets too crazy in general, you just put this on. And it really helps, I guess, with all the songs that we both collectively chose to listen to in headphones.
Yeah.
But this song really benefits from it to really get all the soundscapes. And it just kind of relaxes and eases me.
Oh, I could see it.
So this is kind of why this one became my number one song. I played it a bunch to just kind of chill a little bit.
Yeah.
It does build slow burn to something. And it takes a long time to get there.
Yeah.
There's no vocals until like 5.5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite. And the drumming is subtle. But very effective. I really love the little ghost notes that the drummer is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main riff. That goes throughout from beginning to end, whether it's on guitar or whatever, what have you.
Uh-huh.
How it just kind of like, it's a series of notes where it's like one note or just a couple notes. And then they add more and then they add more and then they add more, changing it rhythmically. But it's the same line.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of weaves in and out of rhythmically into the song.
Yeah, it's very Tool-y.
Yeah, without being too distracting.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the Fibonacci song that
kinda,
Tool
yeah,
had.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the song is called A Vagabond's Lament. It's not why I chose it. The lyrical content is kind of secondary to me.
Uh-huh.
But it makes sense. It's about a vagabond, a wanderer that just wanders throughout what, you know, his life or her life and just has regrets for whatever reason. And just the song kind of encapsulates that of just someone just wandering through life. Many years go by and you're like wondering, like, where did all that time go? And could I have done better with my life? That made me think a little bit.
Well, that's sad.
Gave me a little existential middle-aged crisis. But really why I chose it is because of the calm that it provided me throughout this year.
Aww,
and it's been ups and downs this year, but like there have been like very high stress periods, whether it be work or whatever. So having a song like this to ease me, to bring me down a bit, I appreciate it a lot. And so that's why it's my number one.
Aww.
Yeah, thank you, Kardashev. Black gaze. Not what you're thinking.
Yeah, I don't like that genre name. Come up with a better name, guys.
Okay, out of 5 existential crises, how would you rank A Vagabond's Lament?
I'd rank it a 4, right? Like it.
Are you sure?
4.
You'd seem 4, to doubt yourself.
Well, that's the existential crises part. I don't know. Yeah, I would say a 4. Like it's a solid tune. It's very subtle. I can definitely see it being relaxing, very chill. I wouldn't reach for it unless I was really looking for something like that where I wanted to zone out.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm questioning the 4, because I don't look to music that often for that. For me, like, that's really like books that would provide that to me. But I could see definitely like going after it for work and like enjoying that calming me down a little bit while I'm doing spreadsheets, right? But yeah, like it's a solid tune. It's a nice, relaxing tune. Yeah. For existential crises.
Nice. All right. There you have it. We took y'all on a ride of happy places, sad places, love, lost love, regrets, existentialism, aggressiveness, relaxation, 80s, exercise, jazzercise.
Soundscapey.
Soundscapey. Tumbleweed. A lot of emotions conveyed in our top five.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. And we look forward to 2023. We may slow down a bit as things open up and life gets more complex. We may not have as much time to dedicate to this. We still want to do this to some degree. So we'll see what that means in 2023. But for now, I think we're going to take a little break. Little vacay, just get a little rest, just reset a little bit and see what we want to do with the upcoming year.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
All right, have a great holiday, have a great new year, and we'll see you soon.
Be nice to each other.
Hell
cheers,
yeah.
Y'all.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Two Songs, One Couple.
If you like what you hear and you want more, find us on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
twosongsonecouple.com,
Facebook,
Twitter,
and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Out of five Harvey Weinsteins.
Ooh. Oh, zero Harveys, dude. Negative two Harveys.
You're not ranking Harvey Weinstein. You're ranking the song.
I know, but it feels weird to say, oh, hey, I give it this many Harveys because I like it.
Okay, fine.
Okay, see you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Aloha.
Shalom.
Avidazen. No, ma.
That's not bye.
Okay, bye.